I know a young pastor who can hardly say the word of the Lord. Every time he tries to say the word of the Lord, he chokes on it, or he starts to giggle, or he gets red in the face. He just can't say it. And I don't know exactly what his issue is, but I can guess. How would you feel about making a bold pronouncement in the name of God? Wouldn't you be filled with questions about saying something on behalf of God if you thought about it? So, ready for a Bible story? The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And you know, it might seem like good news. God told somebody to feed him. Food is good news, and there was a famine going on just then, so food was definitely good news. However, it was a widow God told, and widows back then could hardly feed themselves, as the story goes to show. So how could Elijah trust that God was at work in the life of a widow? Financially, I mean, when she was so poor. And not just any widow in any town. So right before this, Elijah just appears out of the wilderness. Imagine, out of nowhere, imagine John the Baptist. Imagine the Unabomber. Not that he was crazy particularly, just wild and socially unacceptable. So he just appears, but not in a small town. The man goes up to the king, and it wasn't just any king, it was King Ahab. Pretty much a bad guy, all the way around King Ahab. And Elijah says to the king, there's not going to be any rain around here for a while. Now, on a weekend like today, if you have some gardening, that might seem like a good idea. But anyway, however, Ahab had brought into Israel a different god, Baal. And evidently, he was the god of rain and thunderstorm. And so what was going on was that Elijah was just showing who's boss. The Lord is going to take away the rain. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And God did take away the rain for 3 years. And then Elijah rushed off to a different country to hide in a sort of rugged canyon called the Wadi Cherith. Because, you know, King Ahab wasn't above killing a messenger with an unpleasant message. So Elijah is hiding safely in his ravine near the creek bed, and ravens bring him bread and meat in the morning and the evening. And you can tell that Elijah is connected with the Most High when the wild animals come to feed him, because usually wild animals come and there's danger about. But you, in a way, not just Bible stories make that point. The Epic of Gilgamesh, which was another ancient Near East story, has the same kind of idea. When the wild animals start to feed somebody, then you know they're connected with the Most High. And we even have that same kind of cultural myth in our culture. Think about Tarzan. Right? We know Tarzan is something special when the wolves don't eat him as a small child. The wolves don't eat him, they begin to feed him. And so we know he'll be the hero. So it's all good that the birds bring Elijah his breakfast and his dinner. But the problem with the thing about the rain drying up is pretty much when the rains dry up for the wicked people, they dry up for the good people also. So pretty much the prophet Elijah finds himself in the desert with nothing to eat and nothing to drink. And at that point, the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go to Zarephath in Sidon where the widow lives and you'll be fed. Woo! Hold on a minute, God. I can imagine Elijah thinking, because you might not realize, but King Ahab has a wife named Queen Jezebel, who is pretty much still the last word for wickedness. There's a website called Jezebel. she's still the last word for wickedness, and Zarephath is her hometown. What are you thinking, God? But Elijah doesn't say that. Or maybe he had questions, like, Did I hear God correctly the first time? About the whole go threaten the king, cancel the rain plan? Was that live in a creek bed, depend on the birds? Why is it that we need a plan B, God? Why does plan B have to involve the wicked queen's hometown? She had a thing about killing prophets. Why does plan B have to depend on a poor widow? How's a widow going to have enough food and drink to share? But Elijah doesn't say any of that, does he? Did you ever have a moment like that? You think you chose the right thing? You think God directed you and you maybe made the right choice and it doesn't work out. So you need a plan B. Well, it's a lot harder to trust that God is directing you the second time, the plan B time. But Elijah doesn't say that because the Bible is a book of action. So Elijah set out immediately and went to Zarephath. And now we all know what Zarephath means, a place of danger. So Elijah set out and he went and he found the widow. And unfortunately, when he gets to the door, God had not told the widow about the plan. And so God hadn't conveniently told her to expect him, and so Elijah has to persuade her for plan B to get anywhere. She gives him a drink very easily. But when it comes to a bite of bread, come to find out the widow, she is so poor she can't even feed herself and her son, and she is preparing for their last meal. That's all she has. What was God thinking to ask her for help? So Elijah doesn't say that. He says to the widow, go, don't be afraid. Go and make me a little cake and then do as you've planned. Is that courage? Don't be afraid. Go and do as you've planned. In other words, get ready to die. Or is that selfish? Give me a cake. Or is that faith? Hard to tell at the time. But then it gets more obvious. For thus saith the Lord, Elijah says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth and there are new plants. And so it is. Because God's in charge of plenty and poverty. God's in charge of rain and drought. God's in charge of the food supply. And they live like that for quite a while, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Because in the Bible, living by faith often means very practical things, physical things. You eat. Or you don't eat. The bills are paid, or they're not paid. The rain comes, or it doesn't come. Living by faith in the Bible is not an inner question. It's not a spiritual, emotional kind of question. It's an external act of obedience. And I don't mean that people in the Bible always know exactly what it is that God is doing, any more than you and I know exactly what God is doing. That's why my friend the pastor chokes up when it comes to saying the word of the Lord. Because when you and I try to live by faith, our lives get confusing and complicated, just like Elijah's story got really complicated. Now, you might think that the complication would be the wicked king or the wicked queen who find God's prophet and the bad guys reappear. They do, actually, a little bit later. You might think that the complication would be the rains come back out of schedule. But Elijah seems to be some sort of ancient Near East meteorologist. And he sees the rain coming a long way away. And so he goes running and he runs a marathon to King Ahab and says, hey, the rains are finally coming, get ready, because it was quite a storm when it arrived. Or you might think the complication would be that the food would disappear. But no. The story gets complicated just in the physical and confusing ways that our lives get complicated. Why is it that the child died in our reading? These two. Now, the people who write books about these things can't precisely agree. Maybe he died, maybe he was in a coma, maybe he had a bad attack of asthma, but these two think he died. And it may be. And that death becomes a test, really, of what God is like. Sometimes the evil things that happen in life become a test of what God is like. Is God powerful? The widow saw that God was powerful in the matter of the oil and the flour. There was enough, as long as they needed it. But is God good? It seems like this death has become a test about whether God is good or not. Does God have it out for her? It seems unfair that a widow's only son would die before her. So Elijah goes off alone and he prays. And he also thinks it seems unfair. And so Elijah pleads with God. And this time God listens and the child's life is restored. What if Elijah had done nothing? What if the man of God had said, oh, that's it, the boy died. Sickness won. The end of that story is the woman says to Elijah, now I know that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. I wonder if this question in the story is as much about trust as it is about God. Anyway, a moment for one other story. Once I told you about, I have a friend who's unemployed. She and her husband were working for a nonprofit that gave away grants. And one time when the stock market took a deep dive, the grants disappeared. And at first, she and her family held on for a while. They took minimum wage in hopes that the company could keep going. But pretty soon, it closed, and so they were laid off. And their unemployment check was $300 a week because of taking minimum wage. So they lost their house. They spent all their retirement money. So then one day she calls me. She's a Christian. She calls me one day and she says to me, Paula, does God have resurrection power? She's asking me, do you believe God can turn things around? She wanted some hope. I didn't want to lie to her. I said, yeah, God does, but not on a 3-day schedule. Amen.